Author of the article for The Nation magazine, Joshua Kors, says that as a result of his story, various congressional leaders are calling for an investigation, and the Surgeon General's office apparently is in the center of this storm. Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York. Morning, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Blair.
So, who in Congress is calling for an investigation?
There are 9 senators signed on, including prominent ones, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, and Senator Kit Bond.
And what are they saying at this point? That they believe that the Army has purposely misdiagnosed vets, or they just want to find out for sure what's going on?
Well, everybody's concerned about the personality disorder diagnosis. This is something kicked off by my article. I looked into the case of Specialist John Towne, a soldier who was wounded in Ramadi, Iraq, when he was struck by a rocket and lost most of his hearing. His wounds were honored with a Purple Heart, but when it came time to discharge him, the Army determined that his hearing loss was caused by a pre-existing personality disorder, and discharging him that way, they were able to prevent him from collecting disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life. And, of course, the importance of his story is that he is by no means alone. In the past 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been discharged under this personality disorder provision. Cheating those veterans out of their benefits is saving the military $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
Now, when you say personality disorder, how does the Army spell that? What does that mean? What's the definition?
Well, right now it's really being used as a catch-all. I think Towne's case shows just how broad they're determining personality disorder to be. I looked at the case of Richard Dykstra. They said his bilateral hernia was caused by a personality disorder. Blair, since we last spoke, I've been looking into the case of one soldier who damaged the lens of his eyeball in Iraq. The Army decided that damage was caused by personality disorder.
And if it's a personality disorder and a pre-existing condition, then the Army's position is that you can't go to the VA hospital and be treated?
That's right. The VA is only required to treat wounds sustained during service. And if these soldiers were ill before joining the Army, they're not entitled to benefits. They also, as part of the small print of the personality disorder provision, have to give back their signing bonus so that on the day of their discharge, thousands of wounded veterans are finding out they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars. This has infuriated some of the senators who are now aware of this. They've called for an investigation.
And my understanding, though, is that some of the fallout here has been kind of interesting. That Congressman Bob Filner, who chairs the House Veterans Affairs Committee, took an interest in Specialist John Towne's case, and the VA caved.
That's exactly it. Filner, who is the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, took a special interest in John Towne after reading my article, and he apparently made some phone calls, directed some memorandum. The VA, which had kept Specialist Towne at arm's length for 8 months, claiming they couldn't even process his papers because they had lost them on 5 separate occasions, suddenly did a radical 180-degree turnaround. Shortly after my conversation with Filner, the Dayton VA called Towne, said, "We are now prepared to offer you full medical care."
So you must feel good about that.
I do. You know, obviously, that's one soldier. We have 22,500 out there who still need attention. And, you know, the president hasn't even recognized this scandal. So how much national progress we can make is really dubious at this point, now that the senators and the House is looking into this. The onus for action is centered now on the Surgeon General's office. That's really where the eye of the hurricane is.
9:17, we're talking with Joshua Kors, a freelance journalist based in New York. And if you've just tuned in, I'm Blair Fuller, and you are listening to Midday Utah, KPCW Park City, KCPW Salt Lake City. So what's going on at the Surgeon General's office? Is the Surgeon General investigating or saying there's not an issue here or what?
The Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, at first she claimed she was ignorant of these 22,500 soldiers denied benefits. Then when presented a stack of cases, including specialist towns, she said that she would look into it. And 5 months later, they delivered a memo saying they had given a thoughtful and thorough review to these cases and determined all of them to be properly diagnosed. I got a memo from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman that went even further than Pollack's memo. His memo said they had gone back and reviewed all the cases from the last 4 years at Fort Carson, where Specialist Town was based, and determined all of those to be correct as well. But, Blair, I did some digging and found out the review was a sham. In the 5 months they did this thoughtful and thorough review, they didn't interview a single soldier. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where these false diagnoses were made and ask the doctors whether they got it right the first time. The doctors said, yep, we got it right, and the Surgeon General considered that case closed. So I went back to Tallman to speak to him about this, asked how they could consider it thoughtful and thorough when they didn't interview a single soldier, and he said to me, you know, I'm not really sure that we can. So Joshua, let me be clear about this. I didn't write this memo, and I have no knowledge of its contents. He said his name and his office were simply stamped on it, as the Army is wont to do, because they wanted to put, as he said, an Army face on this issue. I was directed to the person who did write the memo, Cynthia Vaughn, the Chief of Public Affairs for Surgeon General Gail Pollack. And on my 21st phone call to her, I broke through and got an explanation that I think your listeners will find quite stunning.
So you're saying that we've got the public affairs guys writing memos and putting people's names on them?
That's exactly it. And when questioned about this, Ms. Vaughn said the reason they didn't have to interview a single soldier was because these diagnoses were several months ago, and Ms. Pollack didn't feel that these soldiers would have any medically valid information to share now, several months later. Well, certainly if Specialist Town had been deaf before joining the Army, he might have remembered that. If he had been too ill to serve from his very first day, his commanders at Fort Carson, who had watched as he earned a dozen medals for his performance, might have had some commentary. But Gail Pollack didn't feel that way, and so they terminated the review without a single interview. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens from here. As you know, with the Walter Reed scandal, the Pentagon took two actions. First, it accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and it hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. It'll be interesting to see what they do here with Surgeon General Pollack and this $12.5 billion scandal.
I think the Surgeon General also is kind of doing a dance at the same time. Hasn't she retracted some of the statements that she previously made?
They did, and it's, as one of my sources says, they are doing everything to cover up and doing a lousy job of it. At first, they said that they did the review. Then they admitted, well, no, the review was done by the doctor's offices at Fort Carson. Then, they said not to worry. It was done by a panel of health experts. Then when pressed on that point, it got reduced down to just one person, just one guy doing the review. They refused to release that person's identity. But they did assure me that that person was not involved in the original diagnoses. Everyone involved in this thinks it's Colonel Stephen Knorr. Blair, you might remember him from my article. He was the one who said that in determining that these conditions were pre-existing before the soldiers joined the Army, they didn't need to interview families or even fellow soldiers because none of those people would have the keen psychological insight that he and his staff would have to recognize personality disorder. Colonel Knorr, who is the head of the Fort Carson Hospital's behavioral psychological wing, has just been rubber stamping his doctor's diagnoses for years now. And I found out the other day that in his capacity as a psychiatrist, he's also been active in giving these false personality disorder diagnoses. I have since gone back to the Surgeon General and given her the opportunity to retract that part of her statement. I have yet to hear back from her.
If Barack Obama and Barbara Boxer and Joseph Lederman get their way and they launch an investigation, will you be able to present to them evidence or testimony from doctors saying they were ordered by somebody else to do this?
Well, that's going to be an interesting thing. What is the paper trail here? So much of what I was not able to uncover is because they have been able to stonewall. Someone like Barbara Boxer or Joseph Lieberman would have subpoena power, the ability to get documents that are off limits to the normal press.
Speaking of the normal press, where's the New York Times or the Washington Post or the big guys?
Where are they? Well, I was on the Washington Post radio just this morning talking about this issue. I'll be on the Washington Post later this afternoon. There is an interest there, but it's going to come slowly. I think this article was just released weeks ago, and not everybody has caught on. Certainly the officials in Washington aren't speaking about it quite as aggressively as they were when it came to the Walter Reed scandal. But that could change.
Somebody, though, somewhere in the chain of command must, if your allegations are true, must have made the decision to tell the docs to do this, right?
That's absolutely right.
I mean, the docs wouldn't have done this on their own, would they?
I don't think they would. In fact, in the 7 months that I spent investigating this story, I came across multiple lawyers at these Army bases who were involved in these personality disorder discharges. They said the doctors at their base were being pressured by commanders. One of them told me he knew this was happening because the commanders had come to him and confessed to doing it.
But who's talking to the commanders? Why would they make this decision?
That in itself is a fantastic question. How high up in the chain of command this goes is something we just don't know at this point. That's why an investigation and hearings led by Congressman Filner would be of such great public importance.
Now, there was a letter to the Government Accountability Office requesting the known cases of improper discharges or misdiagnoses and a whole laundry list of some other things. Has that been answered?
No, that's what's being investigated right now. And all I can really say on the record at this point is that the investigation has begun.
So the follow-up piece, what's the next piece you're going to be writing?
Well, I'm going to be, first of all, a preliminary follow-up on Specialist Towne's case is going to be in this upcoming issue. But a larger follow-up investigation will be coming in a few months. We'll take a look at where Specialist Towne is, not just with the military, but also with the public response. One of the really positive effects of the story, as I mentioned, he's getting the VA care. But, of course, we have to look at how the system is fractured. Just the fact that he's getting VA care has done nothing to affect his disorder or discharge rating from the Army itself. the system's divided, and one of the things that Filner wants to look at is uniting the system so that when the VA says you absolutely do not have a personality disorder, you have traumatic brain injury from being struck by a rocket, that means the Army would be required to give you disability benefits. Right now, two different doctors in two different locations can say radically different things, and you can suffer the consequences of that.
You've gotten a large public response from vets sending you emails saying, yeah, that's what happened to me.
I have. And in fact, if you go on the internet as well, type in specialist John Towne, you get millions of hits. People have put up web pages about him across the internet, and people are coming to his assistance. I don't know if you're familiar with the rock band, the Dave Matthews Band. I just found out that Dave Matthews spoke about him at a recent concert, and now his fans are putting together a collection for him. In Ohio, where Towne is from, the local Veterans of Foreign Wars has a fundraising bike ride every year. This year, they're putting the entire amount into a college fund for his kids. It's particularly special for the Towne family because he and his wife make minimum wage at the local factory. Their kids really wouldn't have that opportunity to attend college if it weren't for the public outcry.
About out of time, Joshua, if folks would like to go back and read the article, How Specialist Towne Lost His Benefits, where do they find it in cyberspace?
They can find it at thenation.com. They could also just go to Google and type in How Specialist Towne Lost His Benefits.
Joshua,
they get right to it.
I'm out of time. Appreciate your time, Joshua.
Thank you.